heart of my heart, I love you. Say the word that will make me the happiest man in the world.
Baloney.
Who are you to cast reflections upon the lovemaking technique of Nikolai Nikolaevich? Continentally famous innamorato. The Don Juan of all Europe and part of Algiers. Are you a super Romeo, a modern Casanova, a reincarnated Lothario and Lacavar rolled into one? Or could I have a cup of tea?
Welcome to the inaugural episode of At the Movies, exploring the career of Danny Kaye, with your hosts Zoe Dean and Sarah Fleischer. Today's episode covers the four short films made at the very start of Danny Kaye's film career: Dime a Dance, Getting an Eyeful, Cupid Takes a Holiday, and Money on Your Life. So grab some popcorn, sit back, and let's go to the movies.
Stop bothering me for tickets. I can picture us both, my darling. Yes. Gliding down the river together. Music being played by gypsies. The boat being pulled by vulgar boatmen.
I don't like vulgar boatmen. I like nice people.
Skip it. And then as we pass my castle.
Have you a real castle?
My real castle? I have a castle with 63 rooms. No baths.
Tickets, please.
But I'm overcome. I feel romantic. Let us go where we can be alone. Mm-hmm. Come with me. Come with me.
Look out! You almost sat on my book, How to Make Love.
How to make love from a book? Oh. What does that book know that I don't know?
Dime a Dance is an 18-minute short film, released in December of 1937. It stars June Allison, Imogen Coca, and of course, Danny Kaye. Directed by Al Christie, this short chronicles the romantic struggles of an enthusiastic but socially awkward young woman named Esmeralda, Imogen Coca, who has fallen in love with a sailor named Homer, played by Hank Henry, who doesn't share her sentiments. She enlists her friend, played by June Allison, to aid her in her pursuit, and Homer enlists his Navy pal Eddie, Danny Kaye, to distract Esmeralda from her romantic endeavors. This film was the first screen debut of Danny's mad Russian character, though he is actually playing an American sailor, pretending to be a Russian aristocrat named Nikolai Nikolaevich.
What I can do for you, madame?
Well,
have you forgotten so soon? Have you forgotten all we mean to each other?
What are you talking about? We just met.
Only just met? What does time matter, my love? Adoration knows no time limits. I only know that you're a symphony of beauty. I have but to look on you, my heart goes flochchika, 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 and then... What time is it?
It's 3 minutes past. What's the matter with you anyway? Do you want to have your eyes tested?
Certainly I want to have my eyes tested. How many times must I tell you? Is the eye doctor in?
Of course I'm in. Can't you see me?
If I could see you, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, there's something wrong with your eyes. Oh, well, that's why you thought I wasn't who I was.
Oh, you are who you are, aren't you?
Certainly.
I thought she was not who she was. Was she who she was not, and you was who you are? Are you?
Well, she was not... What's the matter with you anyway?
My nearsight is getting too close to my farsight.
Getting an Eyeful was released in January of 1938 and was directed by William Watson. Starring Danny Kaye as the overly excitable displaced Russian aristocrat Nikolai Nikolaevich, and Charles Kemper as Henry the Eye Doctor. In this film, Nikolai visits an eye doctor, with painful results, as the doctor is rather nervous and makes several serious mistakes.
Don't evade the question. Do you sleep with your eyes open or shut?
Shut.
How do you know?
Because one night when I was asleep, I opened my eyes and saw they were shut.
Open your mouth. When did you have your appendix removed?
Don't tell me you could see that far down.
You can't hide anything from the eye doctor. When did you first see that you couldn't see?
When did I first see I couldn't see?
Yes.
When I tried to see what I saw and I saw I couldn't see it. See?
What type of wife do you want?
Let me see. I do not care what she looks like, providing she is beautiful. I do not care how old she is, providing she is young. And I do not care how poor she is, providing she has plenty of money.
A very simple order to fill. Follow me to the realm of beauty, youth, and charm.
At your service.
Cupid Takes a Holiday was released in February of 1938, starring Douglas Leavitt and Danny Kaye. In Nikolai's family, there is a strange affliction. If they don't marry by their 21st birthday, they go mad. The day before his birthday, Nikolai turns to Mr. A. Swain, who owns a matchmaking agency. But none of the ladies quite meet Nikolai's requirements.
You know what you'll get when you marry her?
Sure, a divorce.
You'll get 1,000 heads of cattle.
What good are the heads without the rest of them?
Good afternoon, sir.
Never mind the details.
Has this place got the back door?
But don't be in such a hurry. Now, you look like a fellow that's led a nice, quiet life. You've never had a fatal accident, have you?
Fatal accidents?
That's it. The very man I'm looking for. What? Do you realize for all of us a danger lurks somewhere?
Really?
Why, right now, you may be in danger of your life.
What? I, Nikolai Nikolaevich, might be in danger of my life? Of all the ridiculous, the preposterous, why, the silly... I never...
You said it.
Money on Your Life was released in May of 1938, directed by William Watson, and stars Charlie Kemper, who you will remember from Getting an Eyeful, as a young insurance salesman with a penchant for selling policies to high-risk individuals. In this film, Nikolai is on the run from some Russian revolutionaries who believe he has betrayed their cause and have made a pact to kill him. While fleeing his assailants, Nikolai stumbles into Charlie's office and winds up purchasing a policy. When Charlie discovers there is a price on his latest client's head, madcap shenanigans ensue as he tries to protect his investment.
Poison.
Oh, nonsense. I mean, oh my goodness. How would they know that you're here?
They?
Yeah, oh, it's terrible. It's two men trying to knock him off.
Oh, well, get the police. Go on, get the police. Help me.
Oh, the window, pull the chain.
Hello, police. Police. Oh, the wire's been cut.
Oh, what do we do?
Well, why should I lose my head? Yes. Your head. I mean, all our head. And I have an idea how to protect us.
Yes.
Jiu-jitsu. Come here, I'll show you. If anybody goes to attack you, you grab him like that. You swing him around like that. Up like that. And over like that.
Now that you have been introduced to the character of Nikolai Nikolaevich, here is Sarah Fleischer for the second half of our podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the character study portion of our podcast. In this portion, I will be giving a short character study each episode on the character that Danny portrays in whatever project we're covering. So this episode, we've been covering the four short films that Danny made at the beginning of his career in the mid to late 30s. And in these films, he plays a character named Nikolai Nikolaevich. And he was a character that Danny created while performing with Nick Long Jr. at the Casa Manana nightclub at the age of 25. Initially created as a last-minute improvisation for Encore, in which he sang the popular song Dinah, stretching it with a thick, exaggerated Russian accent into Dina, he eventually developed an act around the song because it became so popular. We learned in the shorts that Nikolai is a former Russian aristocrat, displaced to the United States. He is, personality-wise, pompous, vain, and manic, but hysterically funny, and delivers quick cutting zingers mixed with nonsense produced by a language barrier. As a credit to Danny's attention to detail, Nikolai is, after the events of Getting an Eyeful, visually impaired. He signs his paperwork with his face pressed against the page, he trips and stumbles over his own feet, he has to be really close to people just to recognize them. He'll also chase any skirt that comes near him, much to the dismay of Charles Kemper's characters, since the object of his affections is usually Charlie's fiancée. He believes himself to be the world's greatest lover, spouting poetic nonsense and sweet nothings in one minute and then chasing the lady while growling like a wolf the next. Sadly, Nikolai never resurfaced on film after these shorts, as Danny retired the character, moving on to feature films and honing the much gentler characters that we have come to know and love. And now we come to the review section of our podcast. And this is where Zoe and myself will be discussing our own opinions on these shorts, pretty much based on, you know, our own personal ideas and our own experiences being of the millennial generation. So let's start with Dime a Dance. Zoe, what are your thoughts?
Well, I love the fact that we have both Imogen Coca and June Allison, who are absolutely legendary actresses. At this point, they were just starting out, but it's fun seeing them at the beginning portion of their careers and bringing so much to such a short little story, first of all. And then secondly, Danny, his performance in here, I mean, it's so manic, but at the same time, it's shy and it's calm and reserved. Like in the very first part, when we see him, he's kind of down on himself because he doesn't feel like he's good enough. And, you know, he's kind of like the runt on the boat that everybody teases. And then they come up to him and they're like, "Hey, can you help us with this?" And he's like, "Really? Me? Why do you want me?"
Yeah, he's kind of like, "Oh, I get to do something. I get to be useful."
Right. Yeah. And it's adorable. And then they get together, Imogen and Danny get together, and they automatically just have this perfect chemistry with each other. And they bounce off of one another well. And it just sends sparks flying. And I think this is probably one of my favorites of the shorts, just because of the fact of that, them together.
They do have a very special chemistry together. And I will say this is one of my favorites as well, for a slightly different reason, but also a little bit along those lines. You mentioned Imogen Coca, who, yeah, I've been a big fan of for many years. This is one of those little, very early shorts that has a very modern kind of message to it.
Mm.
The thing that I always get whenever I watch it is here you have, you know, Imogen Coca's character Esmeralda, who is meant to be this kind of awkward, shy, sort of not conventionally attractive person.
Right.
Being put into this situation where she's in this room full of what can basically be summed up as beauty contestants.
Mm-hmm.
And she's supposed to go win her man. And that's a daunting idea for a lot of us, but not Esmeralda, you know. Esmeralda walks into this nightclub with her head held high, knowing that she is good enough. She is every bit as worth it as every one of those girls with their fancy dresses and, you know, their education level or whatever it is that they've done that is their draw. Even though she may not be on the same level of sex appeal as they are, all of those things, all she knows is she walks in there, she wants Homer, and she's going to get Homer, and she does.
Right.
And I think it's a really great message for young women because she's right. Just because maybe you don't look like everybody else in the room doesn't mean that you're not worth, being loved and being accepted and being a part of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I really do think that that's a really positive message that you don't tend to see as frequently in that type of show today, you know. And at its time, I mean, it was just meant to be kind of funny, but at its core, it actually does have some really good meaning to it.
Right, without being overly political and hitting people over the head with it.
Exactly.
It still has that positivity.
It absolutely. Let's move on to Getting an Eyeful.
Okay.
Getting an Eyeful is, again, I keep saying I'm going to probably say they're all my favorite, but I do really enjoy Getting an Eyeful.
Yeah.
There are parts of it that are a little bit difficult to watch if you're a bit squeamish about doctors.
Yeah.
Especially eye doctors. And if you are at all fond of Danny, you will cringe.
Yes. He gets beat up quite a lot in this one.
I do have a very soft spot for Charles Kemper, though, in these flicks, because he's just so bumblingly lovable.
It's true.
But you know, watching it from somebody of our generation, the one thing I keep thinking every time I see it is lawsuit.
Lawsuit, yes.
Lawsuit.
And at one point he does say, "I want a lawyer."
he does. So much malpractice going on there.
Yes, very much.
I do think it's interesting to note, though, that a tribute to Danny's continuity is, you know, from this particular show forward, and I did mention this in my little character review as well, he actually stays in character in the next two shorts as having been to a bad eye doctor.
Right.
Because you'll notice that after this short, everything he does he has to get right up on top of people to see them and recognize their faces. Mm-hmm. He signs paper with his, you know, his face pressed really close to it. He's bumping into things. I mean, you can actually see him kind of tripping and stumbling and feeling around, you know, which I really think, you know, especially considering that they weren't released, you know, one after the other. So some time did pass that he actually remembered to carry that over. I think that that's pretty cool.
I do too. And I think it says a lot about his acumen as an actor, even that early on, which is not usually something that you can say about actors, especially today. And in a project like that, that wasn't technically a project that was like a big deal, for him to remain in character and to carry those little nuances about the character through all three shorts that you would think weren't necessarily connected. I mean, it's incredible. And it actually enables him to bring more to the character than someone who just went in and say, okay, I'm just going to do, you know, whatever I want with this. It's a new script. It's a new whatever. And I'm just going to add something new. No, he stuck to it. He was true to the character and he carried it through. And it's incredible what he brought to the table with it.
It is indeed. Well, moving on to Cupid Takes a Holiday.
Oh, I love this one.
Again, my favorite now. I think this one is a lot of fun. I actually, the first time I saw it through a silent film version.
Oh.
Of it that was floating around YouTube. And I didn't realize that there was actually a talkie version. Apparently they took this and sort of, you know, silenced the audio and put in little cue cards, and it lost half of it. I mean, most of it was missing.
Right. Maybe that's why it was silenced, because they had missed half of it.
I don't know if it was that or if it's just that they cut it, because they cut the first girl that he goes to see, the one that has all the prosthetics.
Right.
That whole scene wasn't in there.
Oh.
It basically just showed you the opening bit where he sits in the big theater and sees the different girls, and then when he goes to the lady that has all the different three previous husbands and how right. badly she treats them, and that's it. That was the entire film.
Oh. Hmm.
So when I found the actual full version of it, I was actually very much surprised and, you know, quite pleased. It is one of the ones, though, where I kind of feel bad for some of the girls.
I do, too.
And it is worth mentioning, unfortunately, that it's very dated.
Yeah, there's some very stereotypical opinions of women.
Women, people of different races, that kind of thing.
Right.
I did find that part. And that's not exactly Danny's fault. That's the writer, the director, that sort of thing that put all that together. And it was of its time. It's a piece of its time.
Right.
For sure. It definitely wouldn't fly under today's radar.
Mm-mm.
But it's still worth seeing if you are a fan of Danny Kaye, because it is... It's funny. There's plenty of his classic bantery humor and right. plenty of, you know, physical comedy as well.
Right. Despite its shortcomings, it's still he brings something wonderful to the table. It's not something that you would want to miss if you're a fan of Danny Kaye.
Definitely. And of course, last but not least, Money on Your Life. Now, this one really is my favorite, though.
Yes. Truly.
This one really is my favorite. I don't know if it's because it was the first one I ever saw. That could be it. But I do think it is the best of them.
Yes.
In my opinion, it is the best of them, because you're starting to really see that Danny is beginning to definitely become comfortable with the character, and he's kind of built confidence in what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit more of that third wall ad-libbing that he did so very often.
Yeah.
You know, and just little funny things that really wouldn't be funny otherwise. Like, I always find it hysterical, that scene when he's being chased and he runs up the stairs right before he goes into the insurance office. And he stops for breath and he's, you know, going, you know, breathing really heavy, and then he goes, okay, come on, you know? And I just, I mean, it's silly. There's not much to that. But to me, it's hilarious.
It is. It's a very endearing section. And it's just because of Danny. I mean, I don't think anybody else could have pulled it off.
To be fair, the actual gag you see in most of the Marx Brothers films, at some point, Chico Marx is being chased somewhere, or Groucho, and there's 9 times out of 10, they're going to find some way to stop whoever's chasing them so they can catch their breath and you know, that there was a lot of that. But again, a lot of their films came out at the time that this short came out, so it was a very popular type of humor.
Ah.
So it was the humor of its age for sure. But, you know, it's quirky, but it's cute, and you can't help but enjoy it. But I also cannot help but cringe a little bit when I watch it because of the amount of manhandling that poor Danny goes through in this film.
I said he got beat up a lot in Dime a Dance. He gets beat up about 14 times more in this one.
I mean, that poor man gets a painting dropped on his head. He gets pitched out the back of an ambulance. He gets
jiu-jitsu'd over a guy's shoulder.
He gets thrown over a guy's shoulder. He has a china cabinet thrown on him. He gets locked in somebody's Murphy bed, you know. I mean, so much happens to him in this one, and it's so
cringeworthy.
Yes. You kind of start to feel sympathy pain after a while. I mean, even when, I always kind of cringe even when they go to load him up for the ambulance and they go to muffle him.
Yeah.
And they yank his mouth open and they just sort of shove this piece of cloth in his mouth, and it's... You know,
not
I guess
the
they were
teeth.
Trying to gag him, but I know, it's like the force at which they do it. I mean, they are actually shoving it in there, and he even kind of goes, oh, you know?
I know.
And every time I see that, I do kind of wince just a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I start laughing again, so.
I can't help but think of Dean Jones in The Horse in the Gray Flannel Suit. I'm getting psychological saddle sores with each movement.
Yes. All in all, I think these shorts are a credit to Danny Kaye.
Definitely.
I know later in his career he wasn't as enamored of them. Mm. But I think that considering how young he was...
He was only 27.
He was the same age as I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and put that out there for the internet. I know that I don't have the chops to do what he was doing at 27. Now, I know he'd already been performing for quite some time on the stage up to this point. But I certainly know that at my age, I don't have the chops to pull it off as well as he does. I mean, he's got this fully fleshed out character. He stays in character. You know, he doesn't drop his accent. I mean, he does a fantastic job. And it is funny. It's funny. It's lighthearted.
Yeah.
You don't take it too seriously. It's a joy to watch. And I think as far as Mr. Kaye's legacy goes, I think... It does him a credit because it does bring joy, and I do think that that was the one thing that he really enjoyed, was bringing joy to people.
Yeah, I agree.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for this episode of At the Movies, Exploring the Career of Danny Kaye. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. Join us again soon for episode 2, when we review Danny's second foray into the film world, the 1944 comedy, Up in Arms. Thank you for listening, and we wish you a wonderful weekend. In closing, here's Danny with Tchaikovsky and Other Russians.
There's Malachevsky, Rubin, Sanarensky, and Tchaikovsky, Sapelnikov, Dmitriev, Cherepin, Krizhinovsky, Kutovsky, Otto, Buchov, Moni, Yuskov, Akimenko, Soloviev, Prokofiev, Tyemkin, Goroshenko, there's Winkler, Winkler, Bortnyansky, Repnikov, Velinsky, there's Metler, Balakirov, Zolotarev, and Kosinski, and Sokolov, and Kopolov, Dukelsky, and Karnovsky, and Shostakovich, Borodinglier, and Novakovsky, there's Lyudov, and Karganov, Markeyevich, Panchenko, and Dargomisky, Chermachev, Skrabin, Vasilenko, Stravinsky, Rimsky, Kosakov, Mussorsky, Yangrachaninov, and Glazunov, and Sezak, Vikalini, Kachlachmanov, Stravinsky, Yangrachan, Rumshinsky and Rachmaninoff. I really ought to stop. The subject has been dwelt upon enough.
Rumshinsky!
Rachmaninoff!
Rumshinsky!
Rachmaninoff!
We really feel we ought to stop because you've undergone enough.
Skies could not bluer be. Two hearts above not truer be. And I would say for you and me.
Life couldn't possibly, not even probably, life couldn't possibly. Not even probably.
Life couldn't possibly.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of At the Movies, exploring the career of Danny Kaye. If you enjoy the show, a great way to help support us is to leave a rating and review on iTunes. This gives us better ideas of how we can constantly improve the program for your continued enjoyment. The podcast is written by Sarah Fleischer and edited by Zoe Dean. The thoughts expressed on this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The musical tracks, films, and television shows discussed and heard in these podcasts remain the property of their respective owners. At the Movies, Exploring the Career of Danny Kaye, does not own the rights to these tracks used, nor does it claim ownership. This podcast is not affiliated with any major film or television company, and no copyright infringement is intended. Please visit barrenspace.com for this and other amazing content. This has been a Barren Space production.